lot to cover this hour. And first of all, let me welcome back Dr. Patricia Doyle. Patty and I have been together for many, many years, and her work in trying to help all of us, myself included, understand the true ramifications of the invasion of this country by savages from the Middle East and by Africa, with all their diseases and their really grim IQs. And this is a scientific fact. It's not racism. It's not prejudicial thinking. It's not what I want. It's what is. The average IQ of sub-Saharan blacks is about 60 on a good day. The number of diseases that they're carrying is incalculable. We don't even know how many. They're beginning to publish more stories about this in Europe now as diseases begin to spread among the indigenous population of Europeans. Patty, welcome back.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, Jeff, and I'm very pleased to be sharing time with Gary, and I would like to let him know that I am very appreciative for his service as a Marine to the USA, and thank you for your service. I do have a quick update, Jeff.
Okay.
We have more news out of Minnesota. That's this Somali cop saga, I call it.
Right.
We have a second, this just came out now, a month after Noor was the first hire, had murdered the pajama-clad woman in cold blood. We have another Somali hired. And the day before he was to be sworn in, a month after Noor shot the woman, the day before he was to be sworn in, he told his wife that he was going to shoot her in the head and that he could get away with it. You know that Noor also killed an American black, and he's been very vocal, that cop Noor, about Muhammad Noor. He's been vocal that he hates whites and he hates American blacks. And I was very happy to see that the African-American blacks and the white people in Minneapolis are getting together to complain about this this Somali cop.
Right. Well, these are first of all, say hello to Gary. Gary's standing by.
Howdy,
Gary. Hello, Patty. How's it going?
Yeah, and thank you for your service. Very brave, a Marine.
Yeah, they are.
Very, very brave.
Much appreciate that, and I appreciate all of you've been doing over the years, and I've been listening, and man, you're just a wealth of information. You really are, and very accurate on a lot of things.
Oh, yes, she certainly is.
Well,
yeah. You know, Patty, the Somalis in Minneapolis, I want to just touch on that a little before we leave it.
Yeah.
These police officers that they're hiring up there, Somalis, are being hired under the guise of diversity hires. It's that same old liberal crap. And all they're doing is putting substandard alleged human beings in uniforms and giving them the power of life and death over the citizenry of Minneapolis. It's as crazy as it gets. Now, Gary, let's talk about your time in Mogadishu when you were over there in Somalia. Tell us what it was like. Tell us what these people are like and why we should never let any of them into this country. This is crucial. Patty, you're going to really be encouraged by this because it validates everything you've been saying. Go ahead, Gary.
First of all, when we had a briefing in Mombasa, Kenya, because actually you go to Mombasa before they send you into Mogadishu and aboard ship. The briefing was, they said, well, we'll give you the bare facts. First of all, 90% have infectious diseases of the total population. It's a 90% total population has some type of infectious disease.
Wow.
The other 10% have other various diseases through diarrhea, through different, you know, parasitic. There's a lot of dangerous parasites in that country. Mm-hmm. That what they use the humans for is basically like reservoirs, and there's no way to detect it. They said if you get these parasites, we have no way for you to cure to help you. They said That's what we were told by Navy corpsmen.
Really?
They said there's a lot of diseases in this country, he said, that there is no cure for. There's not even some of the bacteria was at that time, this was in 1993, was antibiotic resistant even then.
Right.
Yep. And you had, the problem you got with the people there is, okay, it's a very they're very unsanitary people, for one thing. They don't, you know, if you want to know, well, when they go to the bathroom, it's like an animal. They go walk down the street and they just lay a crap and they just keep on walking. That's just really what the way it is. They urinate any old place. There is no, and you got to understand, now when they do this, the same water that this runoff goes into, well, they wash their clothes in it, they wash their dishes in it, and they use it as drinking water. So, and they have no concept of sanitary anything. There is no like sewage. There is no like what you like you see here. We have sewage treatment plants, sewer pipes. They have none of that there. Matter of fact, it was so funny because what was scary is that sometimes we set up we had these little smaller bases set up, and then we had a major base at Mogadishu Airport, and then they had the soccer stadium where we had base there. Well, they would let some of the locals in as a try to get to know each other type thing. And again, just the same thing as the Somali cop in Minnesota, they would allow some people to come in to work on the base. And these people, some of them are Bantu Somalis, which are, you know, the most backward bush people you'll ever meet. And then they actually have what they call these bush nomads. These people just don't have anywhere. They just live wherever they plop themselves down.
Mm-hmm.
The Navy Seabees had set up a running water latrine, you know, and the heads and running showers. And they were literally in shock when they actually seen what running water was. They had never seen it in their lives. They never knew what like sewage was. They didn't know what a toilet was. They didn't even know what it was used for. They literally did not know.
And they're picking these people up. They're picking these people up off the streets, by the way, and flying them over here the next day with clothes on their back. I want you to understand that, everyone. They're bringing them over here. This thing about vetting refugees is a joke.
There is a book I don't want to keep bringing his name up, but it's from Michael Savage when he went under his old name. And he wrote a book called Immigrants and Epidemics. And that book will tell you everything you need to know about immigrants and epidemics. He wrote this book in the 80s. And this man, I have to say one thing about Michael Savage or Michael Weiner, whatever, at the time he was using that name. You know, he does have a PhD from Berkeley. He wrote a book, and it's called Immigrants and Epidemics. And I'm telling you, that book is clear as day what is being brought into this country. Because if you're bringing Somalis in here, there's some of the diseases they got, they have no screening for. Like some of these parasitic diseases that basically use the humans as a host, okay?
Right.
They have no way to screen for that. So that you have no clue what these people have. You just don't. And you know yourself, there is no vetting process. It's just come and go, come and go. You know, you have the Catholic charities, Lutheran charities, and all these different Christian groups.
Make a buck.
Which are, by the way,
that's all they're doing. Making money.
Zionist Christian groups.
That's it.
Because a true Christian group, by the way, with a traditional Christian group, would try to convert them before they got here. And see, these Christian groups aren't even trying to convert them or nothing. It's just money, money, money. And we all know when it comes to money, 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 you always know there's someone of a certain tribe that's always behind it. I'm sorry. It's
the truth. Facts are facts.
You know, I grew up as a kid in Connecticut, and I know Patty's from the New York City area. My dad was born in Hartford, Connecticut. My mom was born in Woburn, Massachusetts. So this is Northeast. You got to understand the Jew of the Northeast is I'm sorry. Patty knows what I'm talking about. Just go take a trip. My uncle used to live. My uncle was one of the few Gentiles on his street in Forest Hill, Queens.
Oh yeah.
So you know, So you have to understand these people. So when it comes to money, 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 the Christian groups, they're all Zionist Christians. And it's just a big money mill. And they're going over there, just scooping. I've seen some of these people when I was there. They were under UN charter. They were the at the time relief groups. They would have a relief like Peace Corps. The relief groups come in. Catholic Charities. This is the same people from back then are the same characters are now. And they would tell them, we're going to have the promises of the world. The new country is going to provide a living. You're going to provide you a house. We'll provide you a means of living. We'll give you food. We're going to give you clothing, shelter. We're going to give you funds. We're very generous people. And, you know, and we're not going to, we don't want to interrupt how your culture is. And they're telling them that, by the way. I personally witnessed them. And this is, I'm saying to myself, like, why are you telling these people this? And I thought, you know, at that time, my eyes weren't as wide open as they are now. I said, you know, they're going to be, I used to make the comments. He was like, man, they're going to be in for a shock when they get where they are. But why would they be in a shock? Because what they were saying was the truth.
Yeah, exactly.
They can do, and then now you understand the rape culture in Germany.
Oh,
because
these
relief groups are telling them, we're not going to impede on your culture. You will be able to practice your culture 100% where we're moving you to. You will not be told to do anything different. That's our promise to you.
Wow.
And not only is it the charity's promise, but they are speaking. By the way, when these groups, these refugee resettlement groups, whatever you want to call them, they're NGOs. They're non-governmental organizations. But to the refugee they're talking to, they are basically making the understanding with the refugee is that they are operating under the authority of the government where they are being sent to, of the country. They're representing the country they're being sent to. So it wouldn't be a shock why they're acting that way in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
It's
okay.
Not a shock how they're acting in Europe. It's not a shock how they're acting
right,
even
and they're,
here.
They're not,
because
but
they're being
see,
told they're not going to... Yeah.
They're not teachable, Gary. They don't want to be taught. They're not.
Oh, no.
They become arrogant instantly. All right, Patty, you got some questions for Gary, I'm sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, what I see, though, Jeff and Gary, is that with the rape, they're not just raping. They're also killing because they're infected with HIV. Now there's a new disease in Germany. It's a combination of louse-borne relapse fever and malaria. And it's spreading.
Yeah.
You can't imagine the diseases spreading over there. Tapeworm, Lassa fever, and the next one that's going to hit, because they have it pretty bad now in Nigeria, is going to be monkeypox. They're coming in on the rafts, and it's like no stopping. And we encourage the raping by not punishing. We can stop their rape culture. Anybody that rapes gets deported. The law.
You forgot castration before deportation.
Yeah, castrate them and deport them. I would kill them, but because they're giving 90% of the people they rape, they're giving them a death sentence. And, you know, with the HIV, hepatitis A, it's spreading through Europe, California, Mexico. Why? Because of the feces. They go to the bathroom in the streets. It's happening now in the U.S., in California, three counties so far, in Utah, in Minnesota, and in Michigan, that we have hepatitis A.
Yeah, San Diego County, hepatitis A is an epidemic down in San Diego County now.
They're having to actually hose and disinfect the streets off down there. The streets, hose and disinfect.
They're using it as a bathroom. That's the illegals coming in. Now in Haiti, they have diphtheria, and we're taking in Haitians.
Folks have kids in school, there are any immigrants, so-called, in your schools, I'd pull my kids out, home teach them. I'd never let them go near those schools. Let me ask you this, Gary. Go ahead, Gary.
The public schools here in Clark County, and I can say even safe to say in Los Angeles School District years ago when I was living in Southern California, they're third world countries. They're, you're basically transporting your child to a daily third world country. That's what you're doing.
That's exactly correct.
It's an immigrant and refugee center. That's really what public schools have turned into. They're not teaching nothing anymore. And that's what the design's for anyway. But you got to understand, too, we were also told, and this is a pretty scary fact, at that time I was there, and probably even gotten worse, they said one out of four people had hepatitis E. Hepatitis
E. They're picking our food. These are the same people that are picking the food.
Wow.
This is, I'm talking about Somalians. One in four Somalian had hepatitis E.
Yeah.
All right, unbelievable. Let me ask a question about the rape in Europe. This whole rape, so-called rape culture, amazes me. What is it about these people that gives them such arrogance and such mockery over everything around them that they actually will grab a woman in broad daylight, 8 or 9, 10 of them, and rape her in full view of the public on the street, just surround it, and do it, and nothing happens to them? This, I guess, instantly breeds the arrogance I'm talking about. How, Gary, should this have been dealt with? What should the European have done?
First of all, that's Somalian culture. See, and they're over there. The men, they walk in these big groups, too. They walk in tribes, they walk in cliques, that type of thing. And the women there, like if a single woman there, like if she's walking in public with her kids, even push her down, rape, and then beat her, bite her, because one of the things they like to do too is like bite for some. They have this, and they literally like bite and rip flesh as they're doing the rape.
Come on.
And then sometimes, exactly. And then they will do, and this is, we had numerous cases because we had this thing which was a very disturbing thing over there. And look, a lot of these things, it brings up a lot of nightmares for me. It's what given me my PTSD. But I'll bring up some generalizations. Women would be raped over there multiple times, biting and just horrible. I mean, just beyond horrible. Then they would say, well, she's a whore. So then they stone her to death.
Right.
After they've already raped. And then it was her fault that she was out by herself, so therefore she deserved the raping and then the men biting and taking the flesh out. Then they would stone her to death because she was not a Muslim, to Muslim tradition. See, a lot of the Muslims in Somalia are Sunni Muslim.
What I want to know is, all right, how this same mentality, this same reflex is being picked up by European police. They're saying, well, you shouldn't have gone out there. You were asking for it.
Yep.
It's your fault. Get over it. They're actually backing these black African and Muslim rape gangs. The police in Europe are backing them up. They're blaming the woman.
Yeah, it's been 25 years of this attitude. See, they have the attitude, again, with the NGOs over there, with these relief organizations, basically telling them that they can practice their culture 100% without interference where they're being placed.
We've never heard this before, Gary. We've never heard this.
They're told this. Yes, they're told this all the time. So they come in, they already know. They don't get read rules. They don't get read, this is the law, you don't do this. It's basically, it's like the old saying, you know how someone used to live in a trailer park. You can take the person out of the trailer park, but you can't take the trailer park out of the person. Same thing as a third worlder. You can take a third worlder out of the third world, but you can't take the third world out of the person. So you'll never, I don't care what you do. Besides a lobotomy. They would still be doing stuff because, see, I don't want to compare them to an animal or an insect because animals and insects are honorable creatures. They live with honor. And I never compare people like that to an animal, a wild animal or an insect or anything because they have a purpose on this planet and they live with honor. These people have no honor. But a lot of, exactly. They're savages and they're not, they live, a lot of it to them is like, see, we're thinking people in the first world, European, American culture, we're thinking people. See, we rationalize. That's what separates us from the animal kingdom because we can rationalize. We don't go off just pure instinct. But a lot of people there do that. They just live off instinct. They don't live off, you know, like a normal thinking.
No,
person
no mental.
Does.
It's animalistic,
no, it's all
atavistic,
yeah, animal.
Baseline reflex. It's just reflex. See,
they
react.
Exactly.
See, react.
Here.
Yeah.
And we have to stop it. They do not belong here. They see America as they're taking over. This is their country. You saw the video on out that was of a woman in North Dakota. And these Somali women, three women, you know, parked so close to her car that they were almost on top of her car. She couldn't open the door. So she got mad. And these women, I think, did that on purpose. They had all sorts of those iPhones, cell phones, and they had a new car. So the woman got mad and told them that, you know, we're going to kill you, you all. And so they videoed it. They sent it to her boss. They had this woman pegged. They were, I'm sure they planned this. And she lost her job because they thought she's a racist. So they took away our freedom of speech, basically. And only an old lady like me can get away with saying some of the things I've said, but they were all true. Every word of it has been true.
What about... exactly, Gary. I want to ask Gary, what about the basic... Now, this is and I hate to use the term animalistic... they don't use linear thought. They don't use logical progression. Their society doesn't even have the rules of a herd of antelope. They are completely random, as you've said. Their basic attitude is one of what seems to me to be extreme hostility. They don't think anything about killing. They have no respect for life as we do. They have never created even a two-story building on their own in how many tens of thousands, 100,000 years? They just don't do it. They have TV. They watch TV. They see things. They understand. But they don't have the internal discipline to do anything about becoming a viable culture. It's all random. And it seems to me there's a hell of a lot of basic hate in whatever's driving them. What do you see?
Yeah, it's like, okay, it's the old, you know, I remember there was an old story I've heard for years where the guy kept feeding a snake, kept feeding
oh,
him,
yeah,
treating him
sure,
good.
Of course.
And one day he got bit by the snake. He goes, well, I did all this for you. Why'd you bite me? He goes, because I'm a snake, you idiot. Mm-hmm. See, these people don't think like we do. They just don't. And, you know, we could put blame, whatever, but that's just the way it is. I tell a lot of people, I preach this all the time, Jeff, to a lot of people out in the street. They hate hearing me say this. But then I keep it simple for them. I said, imagine this. You jump in a time machine. You go 1,700 years back, go to the Horn of Africa, take 10 people out of that time period and bring them here. He goes, I said, would you think they'd be able to assimilate? He's like, well, no. I said, because that's what you're doing.
Man.
Because there's people that they bring over here who has never even seen electricity in their lives. They don't know what electricity is. They don't even know what it is at all. They don't know anything about electricity. They've literally lived a nomadic lifestyle where they've never even seen electricity.
No work ethic, no work discipline. They hang out on the streets because that's what they do over there. They walk the streets in groups. And they look for prey.
Gary,
they look for prey. Go ahead.
Gary, you're familiar with the Bronx and with Pelham Parkway area? Well, you go down there now and you get all the bushmeat. They have all these stores where they have bushmeat. They also have a counter in the back with plain wrapped packaging. And there's a lot of speculation, and I do believe it, that that's human meat. They're still cannibals. And I don't understand how our country is going to benefit from these people. This started out that we were just taking in Syrians. All of a sudden, the majority are Somalis and Eritrean people. I mean, what, and they say that they're going to benefit us? How? When they're going to be generations, they have four, five, six wives. They have 20 kids a wife. How are we going to benefit when we got to keep supporting them on welfare? have, you know, this boggles my mind. Do you make any sense of how they can help us?
No, of course not.
They're not brought here to help. See, that's the whole point. See, how can they be here to help when, see, Jeff, I just sent you an article from a U.S. News and World Report.
Right.
And the title of the article is Maine Community has Refugees in Resentment. Lewiston, Maine has seen an influx of refugees in the last decades, which helped explain the rise of Donald Trump in Lewiston. And I brought stories up about Lewiston and Auburn before to you. Charlotte Isabee, now I know she lives in the Portland area down
right.
in Maine, because I could, just by listening to her interviews with you, I could tell her and her son live in the Portland area. Now, she could testify to this. She's not that far. She's like maybe like about 25 miles from Lewiston. And even the whole southern Maine region has basically become Somali refugee central. Lewiston, Maine. Now, we're talking Lewiston, Maine here.
Wow.
Lewiston, Maine is a... I'll tell you, we'll explain a little bit about background of Lewiston, Maine. 100% white. An old logging paper mill town. Mm-hmm. Shoe factory town.
Mm-hmm.
Good people, hardworking people. Downtown, the old New England style... You know, your old New England style mill town. Now it's... Mogadishu, because that's really what downtown is. It's all halal bakeries, bush meat, the old Islamic this, that. And people that work in the city government now hiring tons of charity cases of Somali workers, displacing the worker, the local Maine resident. The taxi business there is just all Somalis. You can go on and on.
Would you get in a taxi cab with a Somali driver?
No.
No, I refuse to. I don't go near any of them. I don't. But you want to know what's sickening about these guys? There was a case, and this happens all the time, by the way. Now, my father is blind. He's 100% blind. He's been blind since I was 5 years old. A man in Detroit, and this thing is just Detroit, because I've heard stories this happened in Portland, this happened here in Las Vegas, this happened everywhere, where a blind man with his guide dog gets in a Somali or any Muslim car, they throw him out of the car. They don't care if it's in the middle of the night. They don't care if it's raining hard. First of all, they have this thing about dogs in the Muslim religion. I don't get it. I mean, I ain't gonna get into the psyche of the Muslim because I mean, if you want to understand the psyche of the Muslim, Gershon wrote that down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
I beg people to read that though. It's called The Horror. I've read it twice and I'm on the third reread again because
wow.
this man has spot on that. I'm telling you, anyone who I've made copies and I've handed it out to people at the veterans at the VA, and I just print them off of my printer. It's not that much to do. I'll bring about two or three copies sometimes. I say, you got to read this. You want to understand what they're bringing into this country when they say refugee resettlement? Read The Horror, because that will tell you everything.
It's on the homepage. So go down to the third picture story at the top of the homepage. Look for the red banner, white letters, The Horror. It's right there. Okay? Right under the picture of the Muslims. Go ahead, Gary.
It's easy read. It's user friendly. And Gershon has this way of writing it. He's obviously a very intelligent man. And you know, but you read that will tell you everything you need to know about the religious aspect of the mentality of them. Because you have two different aspects. You have the animal side of them or the savage side of them. Then the only thing they read is the Quran. So think about this. You have savage people who are insane already, like basically Stone Age imbeciles. And then they're already rapists, they're killers, the whole nine. But then they're reading a book that puts them on steroids.
Completely validates
really
everything and ramps it up. I got it. Yeah.
It's imbeciles on steroids.
Yeah.
It really is insane, savage imbeciles. Then they get pumped up with the Quran. And then they have this plant over there, and I know you go to any Somali community here in this country, they're illegally bringing it. It's called KAT.
K-H-A-T.
Well, the real pronunciation in Somali is K-H-A-T, is KAT, right? Well, KAT, what is KAT? It's almost identical to meth, amphetamine. It's a stimulant. So then now on top of that, they're chewing on this cat all day. In Europe, matter of fact, Europe is so insane, they've legalized it. So in other words, you wonder why where these guys are getting their drive over there. These guys are staying up all night because they chew this crap, and they can stay for 2 or 3 or 4 days straight. So then you got an insane, savage person pumped up on some type of, some close to what's a natural form of methamphetamine, reading the Quran all the time. And that's their life.
How close are we to open warfare in the streets? We're getting there.
Yes.
I'm telling you, the balkanization, it is. I agree.
Europe, definitely. Denmark, parts of Denmark have been taken over, especially by Somalis, that are toting assault rifles, and the Danish people are not allowed to have guns, but these guys are in the street in some of the cities in certain areas, in the no-go areas, and they're out there with the assault weapons. And now, because of Las Vegas, that they're really coming for our guns. One more event and they'll have them.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
You should be armed to the teeth, because that's the only thing that's separating you right now from complete insanity. That's really the only thing that's separating us right now, is the redneck, like you were talking to Leonard Carwell yesterday.
Yeah.
People, you know, I'd say people my age and older, because the younger generation, matter of fact, there's a lot of things I don't agree with Michael Savage, what he has to say. There's a lot of it, especially when it comes to Israel and his worship of Israel, obviously, because he's Jewish. But he did say something today that I caught, because I was going through the channels. He said, if it wasn't for the 40 and above and the redneck white American, he said, this country would be overran within 3 hours. And he's true.
Wow.
And he's right.
He said it. Yeah,
that's
he's
what he
right.
said on his
that's
show
right.
today.
Yeah. I've been talking about rednecks for a long time.
Yep.
Yeah. Well,
it's the rednecks, the tough New Yorker, you know, there's a lot of tough guys everywhere. There's the tough Mainers. There's a lot of guys up in the Northeast and stuff that you know, and everywhere. It's out West here. And it's just that, you know, they're very the silent majority, but I'll tell you what, they start seeing what's
if
going on
savages,
in Europe being trying to be pulled here.
If these savages start raping here and doing that, pulling that here, there'd be large chunks of them disappearing real fast.
Yeah.
I think Americans are not going to lay down.
We can't allow it. I have made up some Vietnam era traps. I got booby traps in the garage waiting to go in the ground when the time arises. They're marinating in sauce, a special sauce, soil sauce.
Pungy steaks. All right. Now, Gary, the idea that they're picking these people up off the streets, literally putting them on an airplane. They've never been in the inside of an airplane, of course. They get on an airplane. They fly them over here. They land them late at night at airports. They put them on buses. They put them on vans, whatever. And they start moving them around and putting them in small northern Midwestern towns, little towns. These people wake up one morning, and across the street from them, they got 10 or 20 of these
animals.
Somalis, these animals. No chance is this ever going to work, ever. Not only because of the religion, the so-called religion, which is a cult, but because these people are so primitive and so Stone Age, they cannot conceive of assimilating in an upwardly mobile first world society. It won't happen. They can't do it. They shouldn't belong ever on a plane coming over here. It should not be allowed. Now, I found out, Patty, I think, found the story. Trump's State Department has a new program, and they were offering money to these refugee resettlement groups as of June. You could put your bid in and you'd get funded for it. The program is called, I put the story up, It's our State Department. This isn't the UN Savage Refugee Importation Program. This is the State Department. It's called Africa Resettlement.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about bringing Somalis, Eritreans from the Democratic DRC, Congo, all these people over here, these killers, these rapists.
Sudanese.
That's it. Sudanese. They're all being brought over here. This is Trump. Trump is doing this. This is his State Department. Understand that.
Well, as you know, he's a very, it's just a ceremonial position. He's the,
absolutely.
The ceremonial, the master of ceremonies, I guess, whatever, the connoisseur, whatever you want to call him. He has no authority. Look, this is their way of telling you, your president has no authority. We're going to do what we want. We're going to run roughshod. And they just don't care. It's right in your face now. See, they were sneaking in years ago. People in Lewiston were like, wow, all of a sudden there's like one apartment building. The whole apartment building is all Somalis. Then at the time, you know, in the early 90s, they were promised, well, this is going to be temporary here, temporarily, and then we're going to move them on, and they're going to move them back to their home country. That's what they were telling people in Lewiston, by the way, years ago. Yeah. They were telling them in Lewiston, they're not going to be here permanently. They're only here temporary until it's all safe, and then when the all clear comes in, we're going to take them. they're all going to go back home because they'd rather go back home anyway, and blah, blah, blah. Well, how many years is it now? 25 years later? 26, 27 years later, no matter how long, I think they started moving them into Lewiston. See, they in this article, they're trying to make it look like it was the last decade. Wrong. They've been going into Lewiston, Maine since the early 90s because I was there and I was mad because they were getting treated better than our own veterans were getting treated. I was like, wow. I said, I used to make the statements to my own fam, my own mom, mother, and father. I said, you know, it's kind of amazing. Some of the people that they probably resettled were trying to kill me only a year ago, and they're getting better treatment. They're getting the welcome home treatment better than I get. I said, there's something very, very warped here. Very warped.
I want all of you to keep in mind. Keep in mind what Gary said earlier about diseases. They're not even screening for some of these diseases.
No.
We don't even know what the hell they are.
They're not maintaining sanitary conditions. I know somebody who ran the Kentucky Fried Chickens over there.
Uh-huh.
They closed their location down in Lewiston and Auburn because of the fact was they go to the bathroom, they go to the bathroom on the floor. Try to make the toilet, but then use the toilet paper and throw it in the trash can. Or don't even use toilet paper at all. Usually they use their left hand. They don't wash. Wipe it on their left hand and then go back to cook the chicken. That type of thing. Because they were forced to hire the local, a lot of the fast foods in that area were basically under the threat of lawsuit. Guess who the lawyer was? Was the lawyer Somali? Nah.
No.
Was he one a good old Baptist Christian? No.
Tried.
Was he a Mormon? Try again. it was, let's just say, the nose hooked at the end and had the yarmulke on, and that type of guy came in and said, we're going to sue you unless you hire some of these people. And so because he doesn't, what you're doing is not reflecting what the local community is turning to. See, and they use that excuse all the time, too, because they say, well, your business needs to reflect the local community. And the city hall and the city jobs need to reflect the local community. Never mind that now in Maine, you have so many people homeless in the city of Bangor, because in Bangor, Maine, you go to Bangor, Maine, it's basically homeless everywhere. And it's all whites, of course. It's all whites. But in the city of Bangor, Maine, I have to explain, Bangor used to have a big air base there. It was called Dow Air Force Base. Well, they closed Dow years ago. Uh-huh. But all the base housing, and including another big, huge housing tract, they turned all the basically public housing. You go there, most of the public housing is taken up by a lot of African Americans that come out of southern New England, New York area. But a lot of them also are refugees. And what do you see homeless on the streets of Bangor, Maine? A lot of white people. Mm-hmm. In their own hometown, homeless. In the dead of wintertime, sitting in the parks homeless while they're carting people in overnight from whatever country, godforsaken country, putting them in free public housing, giving them big food stamp stipends, cash stipends. I've even heard stories from a couple of you who swear to it. And I mean, look, secondhand information, take it the way you will. Giving them used cars. Cash for clunkers programs. They're taking some of the clunkers where nice cart and the nicer end clunkers that were being turned in were being given the refugees to use as their own personal vehicles free of charge, given to them, title and all. And with the bailout company, the insurance companies they bailed out offering free insurance for them.
Yeah.
And they're using cars, laughing all the way to the bank, laughing at, see, laughing, and you know this, they do this. more than likely are laughing even at the homeless people, the homeless American, the homeless white honky on the street getting laughed at while they're driving in the car, we're driving by them. Well, it's cold as hell out in the middle of the wintertime in Maine. I mean, Patty can testify that. She lives in New York. She knows how cold it gets in the wintertime in the New York area. Well, just take 30 more degrees off the temperature usually, and you got Maine. And you got homeless there everywhere, in the parks. I mean, it's sad. There's not even enough homeless shelters for these people. And they're walking the street homeless. And,
thanks,
and of course, the opioid crisis and crazy as anything, drug addicts.
Well,
but then you got it's crazy.
Nobody will give him a job.
No.
My son can't get a job. He's trying. He went to the hospital. He's getting very depressed. And he was homeless. He went to Catholic Charities. Jeff, you remember this.
Sure.
He needed something to put his belongings in because you got to carry them with you all the time. They gave him an old egg box, a freaking box that had contained cartons of eggs, a falling apart box.
Salvation Army's the same way.
Yeah.
Salvation Army now, it's all about healthy immigrant first, American, basically too bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Something, we have to stop this. We need to demand.
Have we lost the battle already? Have we lost it? With Trump? Trump is a nothing.
He started off with great intentions, but I told you, Jeff, on the phone before.
Yeah.
The day I knew we lost him as that presidency and all hope went out the window for me, when he met with Obama,
he had that
look on his face like, I just met the man behind the curtain, and basically, in his mind, he said, man, you know what? I'm just going to try to survive this.
He came out and he sat down and he made the Masonic hand sign and he hung his head. He was
just like Mr. Campos. Just like Mr. Campos, as a matter of fact.
Same thing. That's what Campos did. He hung his head.
Yep.
He bowed his head down. That's it. You got it.
The conscience went away. He checked his conscience out at the door and it was just basically, he took his. Well, remember, because he always had a thing in during his campaign, I have the biggest, I had the biggest BALLS in the room, I got the biggest NADS in the room, took his NADS, put him in the jewelry box and put him away. Because he was neutered. Basically, he was debald. That's really what he was. He was debald. Now it's the generals running the show, NORTHCOM and all that.
Oh, well, he surrounded himself with his command center and they're running him, of course. Yeah.
He didn't surround anything.
No, it was all put
there. They surrounded him.
That's it. They surrounded him.
Remember when Obama was even elected? Remember that time? And I remember, I forgot his name. This was, I think it was on CNN or one of the regular mainstream media. They said, President Obama picked you. He goes, well, he didn't pick us. We picked him.
That's right.
That was on national media.
You got Mattis. You got Kelly. You got Dunford, JCS, and then you got the worst of them all, the CFR, Hillary supporting McMaster. These are the visible ones.
McShane, he's an insane man.
Well, McShane is on the phone to Petraeus. Yep. It is said often, if not every day. Petraeus hadn't gone away. Then you got McCain, another McShane. But Dunford, Mattis, Kelly, and McMaster. They're the most visible elements running the administration.
Well, you just need to see the mentality of a John McCain. It's just Lou Rockwell wrote an article, still online, you can get it, about what he did to the USS Forrestal. Just look at what John McCain did.
I remember. I've covered that story. I've covered that story. And Daddy was the fleet admiral, so he got off.
Yeah.
Even though he was a POW, he made a deal so fast. Yeah. Sickening.
But
Patty?
Who else was the other admiral, by the way, a little piece of little trivia. Jim Morrison was starting to bring that stuff up. Well, you know who Jim Morrison's father was, of the Doors? He was an admiral, the same of equal rank at the time as John McCain's father.
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah. Look at who Jim Morrison's father was. And wonder why Jim Morrison magically drowned in some vomit and drinking binge.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah,
but that's a different story. But
Patty,
you understand.
We got 6 or 7 minutes with Gary, and you may have some other questions for him, so please go ahead.
Yeah. You know, Jeff and Gary, when I knew it was over was when Trump he made the executive order about the people coming from the certain countries. And
travel restrictions, of course, yeah.
Yeah. Then they just, you know, they took him to court, and the EO was out, and he gave up. I said, well, that's it. It's over. They're going to keep coming. And
well, now we find out that the State Department, his own State Department, has its own Resettle Africa program. This is incredible.
Right.
Nobody knows about it. Thanks to you, I put it up, but nobody else is talking about it.
Yeah. And you see, what Trump did with that EO was total crap anyway. It was just, it wasn't worth the paper it was written on. He knew that. He probably knew that.
He knew it would be overridden by the first liberal judge that got in front of it with a absolutely.
The fact of the matter is, there's one thing he could have said as for the well-being of the public health. There's laws on the books already. That's all you need. You just use public health. There is public health laws in every state.
We talked about that so many times on this program, Gary. Oh, over and over and over again. Yeah.
These people would not be getting in.
The laws are already there. Trump didn't need any permission from anybody to stop it. He could have stopped it immediately on the basis of the laws already on the books.
Germany is having an awful time with tuberculosis, typhus. It's hepatitis B has increased 300% during the last 3 years. These cases here, and most of the tuberculosis in Europe now and in Germany is resistant, totally resistant, you know. And it's, they had a case of this Yemeni immigrant, I think it was in Germany. He took shelter in the church. The Christians let him go in the church because his asylum had failed. I guess he's a criminal. I call them monkey faces. Then this Yemeni guy had resistant TB, refused to take medicine, and lived in this church for a few months, infected children that were in the daycare. I forget how many children were infected with this totally resistant form of TB. You know, it's too bad that he didn't croak. But by being in the church and being around the children when they went to daycare and to Sunday school, he gave a good percentage of them the disease. And the others are probably what you call they're not active, but they will, as your immune system breaks down, the latent cases will become active. It's like HIV, you know. And
well, you look at this, you see how it's going.
Eventually.
You see how it's going, because the diet, the poor diet of this country already, their immune systems are already shot. You got people coming in with diseases that people in this country have never seen. On the continental United States, in the continental United States, has never seen some of these diseases. You got all these foreign exotic diseases coming into this country. It's third world. There's even, for God's sakes, there's even reports of leprosy coming back. I mean, think about that leprosy.
Germany loaded with leprosy now. They have, I forget how many hundreds of cases. I sent Jeff the Germany article.
And, that's up under Patty's name.
Leprosy. Yeah, they do mention leprosy, and it's coming back here too.
Well, you mentioned it here, and you said that they're blaming it on armadillos, which is another joke.
Yeah, those being armadillos. I'll take an armadillo here and I'll pet it, put it on my lap. I have no worries. Send me.
Or when they had the major outbreak of some, I forgot it was measles, smallpox, or chicken pox, or something was in the Midwest, and it was mainly in the illegal alien community.
Yeah.
And then they said, well, it wasn't their fault. It was them old, them darn mean anti-vaxxer people that did it.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
that's what they were blaming it on. If you remember, City, Missouri, I don't remember where it was.
Yep.
It was that.
Yeah,
but see, that's what they're going to do.
Minnesota. Minnesota.
All right, let me draw your attention to the Muslim section of news stories I have at the top of the homepage. It's the third featured story down there. Headlines, we try to update them often. This is what we hear about. These are just a few of what's out there, maybe 1% or less. African refugees rape unconscious 14-year-old Utah girl. All right? Dreamers gang rape girl in Maryland. Minnesota Muslim moms charged with female genital mutilation of 2 7-year-old girls. Mothers and mutilations practicing protecting little girls from FGM. These are stories I've got up to free. Black Muslim cop in Minnesota arrested. Patty alluded to that earlier. Muslims have taken control of parts of Denmark. She mentioned that as well. Muslim convert becomes sick pervert. These stories go away. Swedes lock away, look away as girls sexually abused on bus. The cowards over there, the cowardice of the white race is unbelievable. Wives of Muslim rapists said that white girls are filthy and deserve what they get. Mm-hmm. So this is what we're up against right now.
Oh, yeah. You have to understand that African, by the way, and it's true, that what matter about African Americans are actually treated worse than whites over in Africa. You'd be surprised, but it's true.
Wow.
No, they don't. They don't like them at all. And the other thing is FGM, briefly about FGM, it's like, over there in that culture, it's considered a rite of passage for a girl, no matter what age, to be forced down. And they just take any old thing, piece of glass, any sharp stone part, even piece of rock on the ground, sharpen it up, FGM time.
Wow.
That's it.
Hard to believe. Just, it's outrageous. This is the 21st century. Yeah, if we don't stop them, we die. We're gone. That's
it. And we don't allow our guns to be taken. That's why what's going on in Europe, in Sweden, the men are scared. They have no guns. These gangs of Somalis, they have the guns.
Well, they're going to have to take the guns from them. I don't know what's going on.
In Denmark, they are standing in the street with guns, no cops going up or going near them.
And they're also doing that in Paris, by the way, too. In the no-go zones in Paris, they're running around with machine guns and AK-47. Oh, yeah. What's going on in Paris, too?
So, Muslim patrols.
Europe's dead. It's gone. Europe's gone. It's officially fell already. It's over for them. There's no hope. The only hope we got left is we try to save ourselves. Canada's about to go join Europe, too, by the way, because they fall under the Queen, so they're just going to follow Europe. We have to save ourselves at this point.
That's right. We have to.
We're like an island on our own.
Crazy.
All right.
Iceland now has... they're taking them
in. Patty's Iceland is taking them in. Finally, they broke through there, too.
I have nowhere to go. Hide.
No.
I guess Greenland or up at the North Pole.
Hard to know, Patty. Hard to know. Gary Holland, thank you for being here. Gary's going to be with us once a month or more. He'll be probably back next week as we continue to update you on Las Vegas. Thank you, Gary. Take care. We'll talk soon.
Thank you,
have a good evening.
We got to do this again real soon. I'm having a good time.
Definitely, Patty. That's really great. Thank you.
Okay.
That was good information. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, and Patty, thank you for being here. You have a good day tomorrow. We all learn. Back soon. In fact, we'll be back with you in 21 hours. Take care.